the satellite, body loving every size. Feel the vibe and energize. No shame, no fear, just joy. Every curve we deploy, hit play, let's make some noise. Oh, Chubbs go wild, living free, living style. Turn it up, turn it loud. Chubbs go wild. Big hearts, big love, big dreams. Breaking molds, tearing seams. Together.
Hey there, and welcome to Chubbs Gone Wild. It is episode 613, recorded on October 27th, 2025, where it is, well, it says it's 71 degrees and mostly sunny in Chubbland, but it sure don't feel like it. Anyway, it is 4 days, only 4 days left until Halloween, which means it's also 31 days until, wait, that's not right. Siri, how many days is it until Thanksgiving? 31 days. Okay, it's 31 days till Thanksgiving. Yay. It's also 59 days until the Crema holiday is upon us. And, well, let's just take a moment to center ourselves from the way that it's sneaking up so fast. We wait all year and it drags out. And then when it finally gets here and it just zooms right by. So let's take a deep breath and repeat after me. I always go to sleep easily.
I always go to sleep easily.
I sleep deeply and soundly.
I sleep deeply and soundly.
And awaken bright and refreshed.
Well, that's not true.
Well, the affirmation. So it's supposed to happen.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
So, yes. Anyway, we'll see. Oh, that was lovely. Okay. Let's see. Patreon offers folks a way to support creators and like us and receive rewards not open to the general public, like My Life in Fragments podcast, books, videos, and more. And we want to thank our current patrons, Clint, Nephi, Nick, DJ Stossage, Mark, Eric, Sean, Charles, Phoenix Dave, Brother Sinatus Kingsley, Kathy Bacon, and Moose P. Please visit patreon.com/Matt Burlingame to find out how you can be one of the awesome people that support us for as little as a dollar a month. All right, well, the Halloween fun has been sent out, and I believe that most of our patrons have it in their hot little hands. However, with the mail these days, who knows? Anyway, but let's stop and take a moment to accept the legal terms and privacy by clicking... Wait, okay, no. That's not what I wanted. I wanted this day in history. Yes, as we talk about what happened throughout history on October 27th, starting with the birth of Sylvia Plath. Yes, the American poet and author whose bleak autobiographical novel, The Bell Jar, ushered in the confessional era in literature. So that's interesting. Also, it was the birth of Ruby Dee back in 1922, who is an American actress who was in films like A Raisin in the Sun and American Gangster. Also, in 1950, we witnessed the birth of Fran Lebowitz, the quintessential New York writer best known for essay storytelling collections like Metropolitan Life and Social Studies. Don't forget that rocker Bruce Springsteen back in 1975 lands on both the cover of Time and Newsweek in the same week, marking his transition from struggling bar band legend to the boss. What else happened? Well, in 1659, the Quakers were executed for their religious beliefs. In 1858, Theodore Roosevelt was born. In 1873, Joseph Glidden, applies for a patent on his barbed wire design, something that became very popular with farmers. And I remember having to string it quite well when I was a kid. Yeah, ripped jeans a lot. 1932, well, we talked about Sylvia being born, and of course, in 1940, mafia boss John Gotti was born. So, a lot of people born today, not much else happened. Lovely. Let's see what holidays we accidentally celebrated today. It's American Beer Day. You were drinking something. Was it beer?
No.
No, me neither. How about boxer shorts?
Never.
You like a little snugness, don't you? Yeah, I don't do boxer shorts either. Let's see, cranky coworkers.
No coworkers.
Well, I don't know about coworkers, but yeah. Also, National Black Cat Day. Oh, I love black kitties. I really do. I don't have any. Oh, well, there's a couple feral ones. Also, it's National Civics Day. That's going well, isn't it? National Mentoring Day. Have you mentored anyone? Oh, that's only in the UK, so never mind. Let's see. National Parmigiano Day. Do you have any of that? Did you have any Parmigiano Reggiano?
Last night I did.
Really? Do tell.
I had pasta.
Okay. Well, that was a great story. All right. It's also National Potato Day.
Nope, haven't eaten today.
I might have a TV dinner later that has some potato remnants in it. It's also National Navy Day. My dad was in the Navy.
Good
Yeah.
for you.
All right, National Sylvia Plath Day. Well, that's weird.
Well, it is your birthday.
That's true. Wow. Okay, that must be why. It's also World Day for Audiovisual Heritage. We are there. We are doing audio and visual. We have celebrated, we have conquered the day. It's also National Occupational Therapy Day. Have you had your occupational therapy today?
I have not.
Oh, okay. And then that's basically it. Now, of course, there is, ongoing monthly type things like National Energy Month, Family Sexuality, ooh, Education Month, Kitchen and Bath Month. Did you do anything in your kitchen bath?
I peed and I got a rock star. So, yes.
Oh, lovely. Hopefully, know which one. Okay. It's also National Disarmament Week. Gee, that would be nice. Yeah, caffeine addiction recovery. Have you recovered from your caffeine addiction?
Sure.
Okay. And also National Pet CBD Month, which apparently needs a whole month for cats on pot. All right, moving on. Let's talk about some birthdays. Upcoming birthdays this time. We have some point here. Okay, today's birthday. Mr. Author Marvin Knuh Jr. Happy birthday, Marvin. Also to Ricky. Do. All right, coming up. Oh my goodness. Adult hottie. Chad. We'll just go with Chad. Chad. Big, buff, beautiful. Yes, his birthday is coming up. No wonder he's a Scorpio. We also have Sean Blair. And how the hell did I know Blair? Anyway, we also have artist Michael Kennedy. We have drag queen extraordinaire Misha Rockefeller. Also, Virat, KP, Jack, Jeff, Gion. Anthony, oh, Dave from the theater we used to work with. Oh, sweet Dave. Also, we have that Whitman Tinka. Yeah, his birthday is coming up. And Safar David. Oh, and of course, hitting us in the gut posthumously, Scott, who passed away quite recently. Loved the show, was a big supporter, and his birthday is coming up on November 2nd. So, all righty, let's go ahead and close that out and see what we got next. Well, we did get a little something in the feedback. Mr. Sean says the AI generated video thing is annoying, should be mandatory for this type of content to be tagged accordingly, and then there should be options to let users hide and or skip this stuff in their timelines. And normally I'd be all, oh, you know, you're being too, but not anymore. Not, I'm seeing so many of the videos we were talking about to
You
the
know,
point where they are awful.
it's like I said, you know, they can't, I mean, they can probably, I'm suspecting next we'll see like older people or handicapped people being made fun of in these kind of videos.
Yeah.
That's my next guess, is because this fat guy, and there's even one where a fat guy, and it's of course it's all AI generated, is going down a slide, and he's still on the slide, yet the force of him just going down the slide has made the wall and ceiling cave in. It doesn't need, they're not even good. They're not
Yeah.
even funny.
Now,
That's what, you know.
thankfully, I'm not seeing those, but I'm seeing the ones with every freaking animal attack
Oh, that's even, yeah.
and being on the porch and being scared by the Halloween. There was only one that I found the slightest bit amusing, and it was when a Karen was banging on a door, demanding, you know, that there somebody take down their Halloween decorations, and then one of them was actually a person and scared her, and she fell over. But you could still tell it was fake. So, first time it made me laugh. After that, I was just like, meh.
Yeah, well, see, the thing is, if they were funny,
Right. But
but
they're just schlock.
because there's one, I just saw one where there's this, you know, first of all, 900-pound man up on top of a in a grocery store up on top of the top shelf, and then of course it caves in.
Really?
Okay, how the hell, first of all, is he going to be on the top shelf? I mean, the
Yeah.
man probably can't get into a car to drive to a store to even shop. I mean, it's they've
Right.
blown it all out of proportion. It's and then he just falls down on the people, and oh, it's hilarious. I mean,
Yeah, no.
it's if it's entertaining, it's one thing, like with the, you know, the possum that goes to get candy and the thing goes ah, and then he
Or
falls
the
over.
squirrel that eats
No, but the possum falls over
ramen.
dead. That was funny.
Oh.
Okay, so and he plays dead. Okay, that's fine. That was a little bit amusing. And or you
Yeah.
know, and if it's animals, I don't care about the animal ones. You know, what I don't like is the berating of a certain kind of people.
Yeah. I don't yeah,
And like I
they're
said,
bugging me now.
I'm suspecting the next thing is going to be old people, handicapped people, maybe well, I mean, because the way MAGA likes their humor, who knows? Who
Yeah.
knows what direction it's going to go into? I know, maybe the president will shut all over protesters. Actually, you know,
Awful.
it's funny because everyone goes, he's shitting all over the protesters. And I go, no, he's shitting on the nation, is what's
Yeah.
happening. He's just shitting on the nation, and nobody. You know, I still don't understand why the people on the you know, the senators on the right and the congresspeople on the right haven't had enough. I what I really
no.
want is I want somebody with some spine on the left, I mean on the right, to go, okay, you know what? I'm switching my vote. I'm signing the Epstein list thing, and I'm a sitting person.
And there's
So
only one that has done it.
no, I mean switch over. There were actually three that had signed for it.
Yeah, but Marjorie Taylor Greene being one of them just
Yeah.
was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is,
Anyway.
what about Joe Stupid from
Oh, what
Iowa?
about
Because
ladybugs?
I'm tired of it. No, she's too much into the whole crazy. So, but yeah, that's what I just want, one person to cross the aisle and go, I'll sign the petition since they're not going to bring in the girl from Arizona.
Yep. All right. So moving on to Chub Hugs. Thank you again, Sean, for the comment and for watching us over on YouTube. Let's see. So Chub Hugs, my big Chub Hug this time is going out to Mark. How about you?
Mark?
Scott's
Oh,
widow. Yeah.
yeah. Well, mostly mine's kind of a just, I don't know. Sometimes I just feel like I need the hug
Healer.
because the news has been so horrible,
I know.
and maybe a collective hug for all of us, but every time they start. They think they're figuring out what the whole plot is here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that Trump doesn't want the Congress and anything because then he's got complete control. Senate
Right.
can't do anything, Congress can't do anything. That's all closed down, so it's just whatever he thinks and says.
Yeah, and how
And
about all of us who aren't getting any food assistance or anything like that? There's actually food lines that are almost back up to COVID levels now.
Right. So it's God, why couldn't they? I don't understand how so many people were under his spell. I
Yeah.
just don't. I don't get it. He's just a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So.
Well, we didn't have anyone send in any listener questions or well, listener questions, answer our listener questions about coming out or favorite Halloween stories, pet pictures, selfie contests, challenges to watch a episode of any show. Nothing there. So we're going to move right on into some very big and sad celebrity deaths.
Okay. Let's see. First one is David Ball. He is half of a taint of Saucel, who was famous for singing Tainted Love. He died at 66, much too young.
Yeah.
Because I remember Tainted Love was if there were people that we didn't like and somebody had sex with them, we'd go, Tainted Love. And they would have to carry that badge of dishonor around. Let's see, I'm gonna put on my glasses because
Okay.
my eyes are
Tired.
watery. Bjorn Anderson, he was 70. He achieved international notoriety with the hated nickname "the most beautiful boy in the world" as the star of the 1971 Death in Venice. And
Wow.
then sadly, but with great affection, June Lockhart,
Yes.
who was she died at 100, which I was really happy.
Oh.
She just turned 100 a couple months ago, and I was really glad because Betty White didn't, she didn't make it, and now we've got Dick Van Dyke in December turning 100.
Right.
And yeah, just the achievement of hitting 100 was great. But June Lockhart was star of Lost in Space. She was the star of Lassie. She came in and took over for Petticoat Junction after the woman who played Kate had died. And so through the 60s and both, yeah, I guess most of it was because I think Lassie, I don't know if it was in the 50s or not, but Lassie, and then she went from there to an episode of Bewitched. And then the next year she was on Lost in Space for 3 years. And then Petticoat Junction, closing out that series. So, yeah, she was to me the best. She was the mom I would have wanted to have, a TV mom. She was my favorite TV mom. I know a lot of people like Florence Henderson, but she was like married to a gay guy. So come on, what? That's not a good example. Yeah, June Lockhart, 100 years old.
Oh, bad.
And now about my week.
Yes.
Well, just right before we recorded, I saw the new Twin Paranormal. They're up in Washington State looking for Bigfoot, and it was because they're out in the middle of a forest. It's raining, and they're hearing noises, and it was pretty creepy. Because I, the thing is with the ghosts, you may have some scary stuff happening with the ghosts, but believe me, I would much rather be in a haunted house than I would be in a forest in the middle of nowhere at night. Because there's animals, there's snakes, there's bugs, there's spiders, there's ugh. So it was pretty scary. An hour and a half. But that puts the end of their nightmare month because they were doing a new show every week for October. And so then they'll go back to every other week. But yeah, that was fun. Let's see. British baking show this week was Dessert Week. Now, it's so funny because most of their show is desserts, except for like Bread Week. And because I mean, like you have Chocolate Week, that's cookie, Biscuit Week. That, I mean, those are cookies. So I don't know. I guess whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. Okay, so the first thing was a Basque cheesecake. Then they did orange cardamom puddings, and then a freestanding English trifle. So that's a trifle is usually done in a bowl, so they have to do it in a ring and then remove the ring and hope everything. They have to make sure everything inside the trifle stays inside the trifle once they remove the ring. But it was a good week, and I'm trying to remember. Oh wait, now I can't remember who left, but I think it might have been Tom. No wait, maybe no. Yeah, oh no, it wasn't Tom, thank God. He was in the bottom though. Yeah, so watching Amazing Race, like I said, because of the Big Brother connection. Now what they've done is with Survivor and with Big Amazing Race is they have them on for their 90 minutes, so taking up 8 to 11 o'clock, so they're 90 minutes each when they're on. And it's just Amazing Race already seems long enough the way it was, and throwing another half hour into it just drags the fucking thing out, I'll tell you. Because it's like it's almost like they're adding another task that they have to do. I don't know if that's true or not, but it sure feels longer than it used to. Much, I mean, longer in the sense of dragging it out longer, not, oh, this is great, I'm glad it's longer. So we finished up Task over on HBO Max, and that's the Mark Ruffalo show, where he plays an older cop who's put on a task of finding a child that's been kidnapped, and it all turned out good. But it was yeah, it was the show itself. The first couple episodes, I was kind of 6-7, and now I'm like When once it got going, it was like very exciting. We also have the finale of Gen V, and just a very satisfying head pop. I don't want to give anything away, but the head pop was like I screamed and cheered and pointed at the TV. It was very good. You know how I like head popping. It's just something for
Apparently.
me. On Bewitched, I'm trying to get through the 7,000 episodes that they have of the show. And so I started season two, and on season two, episode one, she's pregnant. And it's like, no, you can't do that until episode season five. When we don't know what else to do, if you start. But then, I don't know. I've always it's like jumping the shark when they bring on a kid, even though I know it's Tabitha and I know,
See that I think that Bewitched is one of the few shows where I actually didn't mind it, except that in season three, they have a few episodes where they focus a little too much on Tabitha's mischief. And that I could have gone a little bit without, but the rest of it they kind of stay more toward the adult stuff.
Let's see. We fi finished up Monster. That's the Ed Gein story. And okay, he suspected he might have been chick transgender because he liked to dress up as a woman, like putting on their skin like Buffalo Bill did in Silence of the Lambs. So, when I heard the people on WoW bitching about, oh, and then they're doing a trans trying to make him out to be transgender, it's like, you didn't watch the fucking show. Stop talking points from the left who also didn't watch the show. Because if you did, you'd know that he the psychiatrist says, no, you don't want to be a woman. You don't think you are a woman. You want to crawl inside and control women. So that's why he wears it and he gets to do whatever he wants, But it was interesting because for once with these shows, what was interesting was that they actually kind of wove in, like I said, the thing with Silence, the connection with Silence of the Lambs, the connection with the Chainsaw Massacre and Psycho, and I thought that made it much more interesting. And then ultimately, I did not know this. You know how they were using Hannibal Lecter to figure out who these serial killers were? Well, they were using Ed Gein to figure out who these serial killers were that were running around at the same time. So he was one of them that helped figure out how to catch Ted Bundy. So it was interesting. It was some of it was very interesting. Some of it was very much just for the shock. But still, of Ryan Murphy's, it didn't drag out with nothing to say, like a lot of his do. Or they just, it's like, okay, you should have just ended with episode four because you obviously didn't have anything to go another four episodes with. But this time they did. Okay, is it cake? Well, no, we already talked about that. Now, why didn't I clear that? Okay, DMV over on CBS. This is the one where we're following the people who drive, do the actual driving test. That th those are the characters that's kind of center around. This week we did get to meet some of the people who were out in the office. And what happens is one of the guys starts going crazy and he can't deal with it anymore. The air conditioning's not working and they're going through a heat wave and everybody wants something from him, so he freaks out. And I mean, the show's not bad. I just don't see it going long. It's just, I mean, everybody hates the DMV. Okay, now what? Now what happens? I like to say, I do like situation comedies that take place at a workplace, like The Office, Superstore, I had another one right in my head and just slipped away. But they only can go for so long before it's just boring. And this seems like it's not going to last, at least not for me. Ghost is back. It's, the same old shit. Boots, over on Netflix. Finish that up. And I think you'd really like it. If you can get past the whole boot camp shit. It's a really interesting story because it's talking about the days before Don't Ask, Don't Tell, where if you were gay in the military, you could be thrown in jail. And people don't remember that. They don't remember that there was that time period where just being suspected of being gay could get you,
Court
get
martial,
terrible things, terrible things. So, and what's interesting is the kid who plays the lead is, I believe, the kid who was the autistic kid from Parenthood. I couldn't figure out what the characters were, which characters were which, but so he, they shaved his head, and I swear he looks like Trixie Mattel. I swear it.
But
But it.
all four of them are the leads are gay.
Yeah, and it was very I mean, it's funny because I am sure that there's people who watch the first couple episodes and are going, oh yeah, oh, this is a great boot camp story, right? And then okay, yeah, there could be like a gay character, sure, what the hell, it's there's a lot of people, and then so they're gonna miss when the drill sergeant eyeballs the gay kid, and you're going, whoo, that was steamy, and they're going to be sitting there not getting it at all. And so to me, it was kind of like it's a secret little mini series made for us that get it, and the people that don't aren't gonna, it's gonna, I think it's a lot of it's gonna go right over their head. But really compelling characters. They had a lot of good storylines. It's not just a gay show, but I mean, but the main storyline is, but the supporting ones aren't, and they had some good ones. Let's see. Started watching Sheriff's Country over on CBS, or Paramount Plus, and not bad. It's got a tracker feel to it because it takes place in a small town, and he always seems to be in small towns, So, yeah, it was good. I did watch Hocus Pocus 1 and 2, and we discussed this over the weekend. I'm watching Hocus Pocus 2, and I know I've seen it because you can go back the year it came out, which is probably 3 years ago.
At least to think.
Okay, but you can go back and listen to it, and we talked about it. And when I watched it this time, I remembered nothing. Nothing. I didn't remember the storyline, who the characters were, how they were connected to the witch, how they brought the witches back. Nothing. Which was kind of nice. It was like watching a new show again. And I remember I liked it better than I did the first time I saw it. But yeah, it was, they're the ones I'll go back. The Halloween Town, I'm glad that I watched all of them a couple years ago, maybe last year, but yeah, they were too juvenile for me. I mean, even for me, and I like kids kind of stuff most of the time, but it felt too much like like the Witches of Waverly Place and that kind of stuff, where
That's too much for me.
Where it's just too much goofy comedy for the sake of making kids laugh, and not enough solid writing to make the adults laugh. Okay, Matlock, it's fun. I'm seeing where how they're kind of playing this off, or how they're making it work past the finale of last season, how they're doing it, and I don't want to spoil it for you because you're not caught up yet.
Right.
But it's fun. Also, Elsbeth, I'll tell you, I know you haven't watched Elsbeth yet, but once you do, you're gonna love it.
Okay.
You're gonna love it because it's kind of like it's Murder, She Wrote and Columbo, with like crazy outfits. I mean, and it's every week there's a new celebrity that's either killed or is the killer. And just like they did in Columbo, and then you have Elspeth, who's very much like a wacky Jessica from Murder, She Wrote. So if you're not watching it, give it a try. And then finally, last night was the first night of Welcome to Derry. Derry, which is based on it. And this is what's funny is this is actually it's kind of tragic, but it's kind of funny. The original, well, this takes place in late 50s, early 60s. So actually, I think they said it was 62, but the original it with the Tim Curry playing Pennywise took place started off in the 50s, and then the second half was in the 80s, where the new one we started off in the 80s and then they ended up in the teens, the 2010s, and so and they talked about how Pennywise first showed up in the I think it was the 50s, like around the 20s or 30s, right around there, because he comes every, it's kind of like you, he comes every 30 years, right? It's interesting because they show how, so you gotta throw out the Tim Curry one and be thinking towards the new version. And I don't mean that meanly, but it's kind of where we're at. And in when the first episode, four characters are murdered. And four of the main six characters are murdered. First episode. Yeah, so it was like it kept going on. I'm like, they can't kill off everybody. They introduced us to six kids and four of them are dead now. What the fuck? But then I'm thinking, no, we're not, this isn't based on the book. I mean, this is based on what happened before the book. So maybe it's not going to be about the kids. Maybe it's going to be about trying the adults trying to figure out what's going on. I don't know, because they've introduced us to this hot Air Force guy who's shown up to because oh, that's right. It's that's right. It is 62. It's taking place during the whole Russia scare with the nuclear bomb, nuclear and Cuba, the Cuban Missile Crisis. So that's why he's up in Derry, Maine, is because he's an official from the Air Force. So, but he's like they're bringing him in as a main character, and I'm like, where are they gonna go? Now I'm kind of what adults? They're dealing with adults? Okay. So I don't know. I'm it's. I the first episode was it was kind of slow at the beginning, but the ending is just it'll tear you apart if you know what I mean. So it was fun, very fun.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds fun. I just saw an ad for that this morning. So cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as for me, been an interesting week. Starting with the car. The car, we went out to get haircuts after several months after mom got her license back. Yay. And for anyone that wasn't keeping up, it was just, I needed to do an eye appointment. It wasn't like it was taken away for or anything like that. Anyway, so we went out to go get haircuts and the car wouldn't start. So we had to have the car towed. Well, it turned out our regular mechanic is away. until the 28th. So we had to take it to another place that charges quite a bit more. And they're basically like, okay, here's the list of things that need to get done. And we said, well, what do we need to do to just get it going so that we can get around? And it's like, oh, it'll just take this and this and this. So we're like, okay, well, do those things. How much is that? Oh, a mere $2,600. So, yay. Gotta figure that out. And then, see, mom did have another fall this last week, but she is absolutely fine. And thankfully, the chair, which, we have several of our listeners who contributed toward the chair. And so just know that the chair worked wonderfully. I was able
For a
to
second
get her
time.
up. Yes, correct. So was able to get her up and going again. So all good. Other than that, let's see. So I have mostly just been kind of staying at home and keeping it low, working on some projects, doing my work. And I did watch a few things, but not all that much. When Heather was over, we watched some more episodes of Blake 7, which is the 1970s sci-fi well, not a sitcom, sci-fi show from Britain. And wow. I mean, it's decent, but I don't know how the hell it lasted four or five seasons. And on top of that, well, all the characters are kind of assholes, and I don't I don't get it. Like, why people like this show? Maybe it was Britain and they just didn't have any other sci-fi shows. I don't know. Anyway, so there's that. And so we only watch about two episodes every time she's over, so that means we'll be finishing this around 2030. And I've also been watching still a little bit of Charmed, as I think I mentioned last time, picked up in season four. So this is after Shannen Doherty left the show and the Prue. And it's been fun watching it again and enjoying it. And actually, I think getting more out of it again rather than just watching it to watch it as I did the last few times I did. I also watched some more of No Job for a Lady, which is on YouTube. There are three seasons if anyone wants to watch it. It is a 1980s sitcom with Penelope Keith. It is a British show. And it basically is about her character who's in her late 40s, I believe, somewhere in her 40s. You can't tell these days. And she is elected to Parliament. She's a backbencher in Parliament, and it is basically gives you a real understanding of British politics back then and how the heck it all worked, but at the same time was fun and thought-provoking, because I'll tell you, there's a few episodes where she made decisions where I just did not like her. And usually sitcoms try to make you in the, always kind of side with that character. They always take the platform that you're probably gonna like. And in this one, there are times when that wasn't the case. Also, I've been watching Halloween sitcoms on YouTube. I have a nice list of them and watch some of them, like some DL Hughley and some old Dharma and Greg and some shows like that. But haven't gotten too far in that list yet. All right, thank you. And then we have the Halloween Town. So I finished all four movies. I actually remembered the order of them incorrectly. And so I'm glad I went ahead and watched them again. I enjoyed them, but kind of like you said, they're, you have to just kind of enjoy the schlock of it because it is very, especially they're going to college, but they're still very like Disney teeny bopper-ish. So, but it's still fun. So I'll still watch them every year, probably. So I did go ahead and do the Hocus Pocus, but in this time I actually watched them in reverse. So I watched Hocus Pocus 2 and I enjoyed it quite a bit, actually quite a bit more than I did the last year. And then I watched Hocus Pocus, the original, and I actually was considering skipping it this year because, sometimes it just seems more like just a schlock to get through. However, watching it in reverse, I actually picked up a lot of things that they did in Hocus Pocus 2 that were the references in the first one that I didn't realize were there until I had watched it in reverse. So it was almost like watching the prequel. And so that's fun. And I believe that they really are doing a Hocus Pocus 3, or at least they're talking about it. And they are talking about bringing back the character of Max. The thing that got me watching this, though, is that they made such a big deal throughout the entire movie about Max being a virgin. And they stated quite early in the show Max was 15. And I'm like, why the hell do they have, are they making this whole big, like even adults saying, really? Are you still a virgin? He's 15. What? It seems really, really weird to be making such a big deal about that.
They
Now,
do that all the time. They it's like they
I
go,
yeah.
the only way you're going to get a virgin is somebody under 10.
I
It's like,
it's
now
weird
do you
though.
think they're counting masturbation?
I don't think so, but yeah, it just I don't know. I just
I
kept
mean, I
thinking,
agree with
why
you.
is this the butt of the joke? It's weird. Anyway, okay, so watch that. That was all fun. And then, Matinee Minutia, we recorded this weekend, and we are talked about Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, which I realized watching that and looking at my Elvira doll, and well, action figure, and my having my Elvira mug and my Elvira keychain all right here. I realized just how much I just love Cassandra Peterson and the Elvira character. And when I was younger, didn't actually realize that Cassandra Peterson was a person. I just always thought she was Elvira. So, anyway, it was really
It's 'cause
fun.
you stupid.
Yeah, when I was a kid, it didn't dawn on me. Yeah, it just didn't dawn on me that Bill Cosby was yeah. Anyway, so it's very fun. It was great doing a deep dive of the show, and I'll let you know when that is out. So the last two things is I did watch, I think I caught up last night. Unless I'm only one episode behind, I caught up last night on the Halloween Baking Championship, the current season, and I think I even texted you, what the hell is wrong with these people?
That's what that meant? You
Yeah, okay.
made
Okay,
no reference to what you were
so I
referring
watched
to.
the episode where the French chef guy, the one who's like worked at Michelin star restaurants and all this stuff, is going, not only does he do a crappy dessert, but he goes around and like tries to get in the minds. I'm trying to get in the minds, I'm trying to get under their skin of the other contestants. Like, why? This is not what this show is about. I've never seen the show set up this way, or a character really try to do that before, or a character, a contestant really try to do that before. And it was just like, and why the hell do you have, are you trying to get under their skin and get in their heads and mess them up when they're already batshit crazy? Because half of them are crying through the entire episode. One of, the one girl, and they all have the most bizarre problems. All their grandmothers have died within the past 6 months. They all have cancers and
Well,
lost
that's
children
because
and recovering and
they've got
what?
the same casting directors as they have on The Voice.
Apparently. But oh my God, I'm like, leave these people alone. If they would like hold themselves together for 5 minutes, I actually like quite a number of them. But then there's some that are just, especially the ones that have been more classically trained, are just dicks.
Well, you know,
So.
honestly, what you're talking about, the French guy. They did the same thing in Project Runway with the I guess transgender woman
Okay.
who was going around trying to get in people's heads so they'd fuck up. I don't get it either. I think it's kind of classless.
Yeah. Well, especially on a little baking show where everybody's, it's supposed to be family fun and everybody's supposed to get along, or at least
Well, yeah, and
act like it.
I mean, it's not like they're going to win, $1 million and you're trying
Right.
to play it strategically, but
Yeah. If
yeah,
they were
it's
doing
just
this on
British Bake Off. Can you imagine?
no. The show would have bombed by now be that way. So anyway, I was really kind of disappointed in that, and I was also glad that he ended up being in the bottom three because he was such a cocky but yeah, and even the woman from Ukraine, who by the way is beautiful, and obviously she's got some filler in her lips there because they're a little plump, but I like her. I like a lot of these people, but I'm just saying that it's very different this year. So
I think it's just it's a turn to where you've got to get some fuckers in these shows that I think they think that we look for the villain. We need to have a villain in the show. And I don't think that's true.
no.
It's not true in the British baking show. So why would it be true here? Why do we have to have somebody? I mean, because Project Runway, they were all bitching at each other. They were mean to each other,
Yeah.
and they talked behind each other's backs constantly. And I think that's just odd. Sadly, I think that's the direction that reality programming is going. And you made the statement to me this week that if it weren't for reality television, we wouldn't be in the situation we are in this country. It's changed the way we treat each other. It changed the way we react to
How we
situations.
want our news, how we expect to get our news. Yeah, the because the when they have like the Amazing Race or Survivor or something like that, and they're it is a strategic game. I can understand the mind games and all that. It's like, okay, I get it. And you're playing for $1 million. You've got to outmaneuver and outlast and outwit, blah, blah, blah. I get it. But when you're coming to these little baking shows and stuff like this, one of the reasons I think so many of us watch it is because we're watching them also be supportive. They're playing against themselves. I mean, how many times have we watched on these spring baking shows and stuff where there's three or four people that are done, someone else is struggling, and they all go over and they help that person finish? That is the type of thing that I think on the baking shows and stuff we want to see. I don't want to see them destroying each other.
I agree with you. Now, what can you do about that, though?
If they keep up this type of thing, stop watching. I mean, that would just be me because
Right. Well, no.
I don't
I
want to see that.
but see, I think that's just stop watching. It's not gonna. That's I. We
I will
there's got to
start
be.
a
I mean, there's got to be
petition.
some kind of campaign where we want to see reality shows that aren't like, I mean, it's funny because we want to see reality shows, but we don't want them to be real life either.
Yeah, that's true. That's,
And it's just, yeah, I do. I think there's a real mean streak that's coming out of these things that is not healthy.
Right. It's not. And unfortunately, they've been around long enough that we have two generations that are used to that type of behavior now. Okay, the last thing is this is going to be the first year I'm actually working. I am going to be doing a Samhain simmer pot, which is you can also call it a Halloween simmer pot, and it is wonderful, where you take you take all the kind of spices, like the star anise and cinnamon and all those types of spices, and then you put in a nice orange and apple, and you basically just have a nice on Halloween. It's a blessing pot of boiling, yummy, smelling, tasty awesomeness. So anyway,
What do you do with it?
you
You
smell
drink
it.
it?
Smell it. You can. I mean, it's all natural stuff, but it's probably not going to be it's not going to be like like an apple cider type thing. But you use it for blessings and just to smell nice and honor the season.
Okay.
Yeah. All
Yeah.
right. So, what would you do? You run into an ex at a reunion. They're friendly and suggest catching up one-on-one. You're in a committed relationship now. Do you accept the invitation politely, decline, or mention to your partner first and see how they feel? Well, considering I already know what your answer is going to be. So, yeah.
Well, my thing has always been exes should leave the state and never to return, and or the other thing, which I won't say because it's horrible.
Right.
No, I would. I've actually had an ex ask if I wanted to, hook up for old time's sake, and it's like,
Yeah.
ugh.
Well, this just says this is catching up,
Oh,
but
you know what that means? That
yeah.
means fucking.
Oh, I don't know about
You're at
that.
the reunion. That's what they're talking about. You're at the reunion. Hey, you want to catch up in my hotel room?
Yeah, I think that in my case, I would probably already be remaining friends with most of my exes, so it wouldn't be a question of catching up, because we probably had coffee or a party that they were came to already. So yeah, but as far as catching up, like in that type of what you just said, no, thank you. They're an ex for a reason. Just, you got to go with that. All right. Love it or hate it, avocado toast and foodie culture.
I like foodie culture, but I've, oddly enough, I've never had a traditional avocado toast.
Oh, my star.
I mean, it's to me, I'd rather,
Yummy.
well, I'm sure it is. I mean, I've had avocado on sandwiches, so why wouldn't it be good? And I don't know that I'd really want it with, locally sourced fruit and an egg,
True.
but
Oh, no.
because that's very foodie. But I like foodie culture. I think it's yeah, it's fun. I like new things.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with it.
I think it's pretty neat to explore like that. I always thought the whole avocado toast thing was absolutely ridiculous. But then I actually had avocado on buttered toast with a little salt and pepper on it. Oh my God, that was good. So I completely changed my mind.
Well, see, I think the thing is that, because when When I was younger, when we had avocado, you ate an avocado out of the shell, and with salt and pepper and maybe a squeeze of lemon, and that's how you ate the avocado. They weren't throwing it on sandwiches. It was guacamole or it was an avocado. Those were two choices. So I think what's happened is that people forget how good avocado is just on its own. You don't have to have it doesn't have to be mirrored, matched with turkey or with like tacos. It can be really a lovely source right on its own, and then you put it on a nice piece of crunchy toast. Why wouldn't it be good?
Yes, get a little texture to it. Yeah, it's lovely. All right. Hey, Chubbs, Timothy wants to know, which public figure today seems to be genuinely authentic, and how can you tell?
Yeah, how can you tell?
Dolly Parton.
Okay. I mean, if that type, Jane Fonda.
Oh, yes. In fact, our friend Levi just got to see Jane do a talk, like an in-person thing.
Yeah. I mean, and how do I just because they both examples have carried a torch. And they haven't veered from that. Their message is always the same. You know what you're going to get. I mean, Jane Fonda was going house to house in, what was it, Minnesota or Wisconsin last year before the election. I mean, that's, and Dolly Parton is just, well, when Dolly came out and goes, "Look, I'm not dead yet." Because, she had, according to what I've heard, she had kidney stones.
That's what I heard too.
So, it's like people, sister, you need to calm the fuck down.
And then, also that's another thing with media is that the sister could have said like something about, well, pray for her. And then the media goes, oh, the sister said blah, blah, blah.
Well, the sister should also have stated, pray for her, she's got kidney stones.
That would have been nice too.
And people would go, okay, good. It's nothing. I mean, it's painful, but it's not terminal. So we're not losing Dolly anytime soon. Yeah, it's like if I ever found Jane Fonda or Dolly Parton to come out and go, wearing a MAGA hat, I would shit myself.
I would also say Corey Hart, Cyndi Lauper. You notice that I'm talking about older celebrities, ones who've just gotten to the point where they're just like, fuck all this.
But I the question I felt was more of either social media or not
And
even that.
public
It's almost
figures.
politician,
How
you
about
know.
Moskowitz? I think he's pretty up in front and center.
Yeah. It's just,
Jasmine Crockett.
sure. Jen and Pumps. I think that
Oh,
they're,
yeah. Definitely.
yeah, it's, yeah, I mean, it's just, they've got to, if they're going to talk the talk, they have to walk it too. So, yeah, I mean, that's how I tell, that's how I feel I have to look at this kind of situation. Yeah, so.
All right. Hey, Chubbs. Timothy wants to know, recently the late Suzanne Summers' husband made an AI clone of her. If AI could recreate the voice and likeness of someone you loved or lost, would you want to interact with it?
I think it's, I mean, at his age, and I mean, that's the biggest problem that so many older people have. Or, I mean, I think it's unhealthy, yes, but I think it could also be healthy. I mean, I would love to, call my mom up and it would interact. This AI would interact as she would, and it would be I mean, like I said, not healthy, but if you approach it in a healthy way, it's just, you think that, if you could just, 'cause so much of loss is just because the companionship is gone. And if you could interact with somebody, I don't know. It's a good question, but it really, you have to watch it. It's like these kids who are falling in love with their AI chat,
Right.
and not being able to say, this isn't real. I mean, you've got to still, you cannot break the, you cannot have that become the norm as far as this is, well, I was going to go on vacation, but I'm just going to stay home with my program, what do you think?
Is that fine line, because at first I was like, no. When I first read this question, I was like, no, absolutely not. I would not want that. Once that person is gone, that person's gone. And if you keep doing something like that, you're inhibiting your own healing. You're messing up. And then I thought about like some of the friends that are really close to me, and I'm like, if they were gone and I had the opportunity to have something where I could interact with them like it was really them, knowing of course it wasn't, I wouldn't want
Right.
to like
That's the
nudge,
thing. You
but
got
I'm
you.
just like, I don't know, there might be times when that I
That could
would
also be
want
healthy. It could
to
be,
that.
and yeah, I mean, a particular time where you're feeling sad.
And like you just need to like have a few moments of talking to that person. But so, I mean, I think in some cases it could be something good, but for the, and especially when you're older like that, I totally get it. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with it. They know that their person is gone, but they're having something that can keep them, give them some connection, some peace. I don't know. But I think the bottom line is you have to know that they're not real. Otherwise, it is a bad thing.
I know, but just think about it. Let's say, I don't even want to use any examples, but there is somebody that, oh my God, you're gone. Where'd you go?
I'm here. The studio dog decided that they just had to
Oh, okay.
shout about nothing.
Okay. So I just, I'm, if I could get my dog, an AI dog, that was like, because, I remember when you walk into the house and they run up to you and it's so
That's
exciting,
right.
and then they're not there anymore and no one runs up when you get home anymore. And it's just, there are certain times where you miss that kind of companionship, and having, a quiet house when you walk in and no one's there, and it's just, it's different. I remember, and I've told you this before, when my mom died, after my mom died, we used to always, I mean, I'd pick up the phone and call her, and something just out of it was in the day where you actually had to call people instead of texting them. So there was something on the news that was hilarious, and we both always watched the Channel 3 news, and I reached for the phone when that hilarious thing happened. I knew that I had no one to call, but I would have liked to have had someone to call. So yeah, I think it's really a thought-provoking, very, very interesting question.
All right. Hey, Chubbs, Timothy wants to know, what does emotional intimacy between friends look like to you? Well, oh, emotional intimacy. I think that I have an emotional intimacy with my closer friends, even though we may not always be chatting. I'm very blunt and open, I think, maybe too much sometimes. And I think that that creates a stronger bond with the people that are the closest to me. But I think you have to, what I think the best thing is the emotional intimacy. I remember the best friends are the friends who you can be around and you're not talking and yet you're totally comfortable.
And also the
Just
ones that, and I think it's actually measured when you don't see them in a long time, and
right.
when you get back in the room together and you're talking like you saw them yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that that you don't get a lot of those people, but you get a few, and you share life with them.
Right.
So.
It's like I've have said before, I when I was a kid, I didn't have any of those friends. Like any of those friends. I always wanted friends, but I never had them until I started having pen pals, and that's of course how I met Nephi. But when I got older, I was very blessed because now I have like four or five people that are like in my super close-knit, circle. And so I feel extremely blessed being older, coming from not having any friends to having friends that are, a number of them. So anyway, really great questions. All right, I remember favorite radio station as a teenager.
Okay.
Mine was Quad 106, and it used to be FM 102.5, but then they like went to rap or something, so I switched to 106.5, and it was like the just very pop,
Yeah.
Simple Minds, Cyndi Lauper, all that, Madonna, so.
Well, I really liked KFRC out of San Francisco during the
Okay.
'70s,
No.
and I'm trying to remember was what, because we had two radio stations here in Sacramento that were pop stations, and I listened. It was one of those where, you knew it was one of those where you knew right on the dial that you could just turn it, and when you don't like
Yes.
that, because it was the days where you had to find the station unless
Yeah.
you were in the car. The car had its thing, but
Yeah.
yeah, because you were waiting for songs, certain songs to come on. So, oh, here's that Kenny Rogers song. I don't hear this, switch over. And, then it's some, oh, well, I'll wait here because they're on a commercial. So we'll wait and see what comes on. And I used to do that in the car all the time before CDs and
Right.
tapes and stuff.
What was that? Do you remember the AM radio station that played country? It was like K, I don't know, it was like crack radio or
There was a crack,
Yeah. Of course, now it, and there was,
KRAK, crack.
yes, yeah. And then there was K-Hill,
And
which
but
played the
crack
hits from
was,
the
if I remember
60s.
right, crack was real country.
Yes.
Real country. Well,
Yeah.
actually, that's kind of all, that's what country was. You had your few Dolly Partons, and no. There was like the heavy duty old country shit, and I'm not saying shit in a bad way. But then you had your new progressives, like when Dolly Parton came out, and then you started hearing,
Kenny Rogers
well, and
and
folk music went from folksy to pop, because we had a lot of that, especially in the
Crystal
70s and
Gale,
80s. Crystal Gayle. Also, there was oh God.
Anne Marie.
No, yeah, but then it crossed over, and it was I Feel Like a Woman.
Oh
And
yes.
that was
Yeah.
the first, I mean, that's when it, I mean, Dolly Parton had already done the crossover,
Right.
but she was still kind of country. Well, she was very much country. And then you had her that one come out, and then Taylor Swift, and then country became pop. So well, remember I Want to Kiss You All Over? Did you know that was a country band? I want to kiss you all over,
No.
over and over again. Oh, it was like right around Cyndi Lauper, well, a little before Cyndi Lauper, but that
Huh.
was actually a country band.
I didn't know that. Do you remember Alabama when they would do Elvira
Yeah.
and all those songs, which would get
Wait,
played?
Alabama didn't do it. That was
Uh,
the that
not
was
not Alabama,
that
the
was the somebody Statlin Brothers,
Statler
right?
Brothers.
Was that them?
I remember listening to I had an Alabama and I liked their music.
Well, Alabama was kind of like Boston.
Yeah.
Boston. I didn't listen to them, but I knew their music.
Right. I wasn't a big Boston fan either. Just me. Okay. Excellent. And then it's time for what's in your lunchbox. And Mr. Moose has been eating up a storm. And he starts out with he made another orange cake. Trying to get this recipe right, hubby suggested pecans or pecans or whatever on top, like a rum cake, which added flavor. That's really neat.
Oak Ridge Boys.
Oak Ridge,
Well,
yeah, that's it.
Elvira. Okay.
Yeah.
I knew it was somebody. Wait, let me get to this food. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
So we started out with that beautiful orange cake.
Orange cake. Okay.
And
Yes.
there's a debate on the baking show about pecans. Anyway, all right.
It's
And
the
then,
same thing as poinsettias and poinsettia. It
right.
just depends on where you
Where
grew
you're,
up.
yeah, regional.
Yeah.
And then we have had breakfast for lunch, bacon toast and hash browns, and there is some beautiful bacon on that plate.
Oh, that's right. You hate hash browns.
I don't hate it. I just like them done.
The
Done,
hash
done.
browns, they look good. But you, I what I really like egg yolk on hash browns.
I would not like again. I not mind. I just like them done, and most of the time I end up with practically raw potato in the middle.
So, are you pecans or pecans?
I've always said pecan
Yeah.
pie. So, yeah. Okay, baked a chocolate rum cake today. Woo! There is a rum glaze that goes on the cake, and I may have accidentally put three times the rum the recipe called for in there. Okay. Yes, accidentally. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. But wow, is it good! And pecans and lots of butter. Oh, that just sounds beautiful. Yeah. All right, next up. Hubby said I could pick the lunch restaurant. He usually picks because he is a super picky eater. I suggested one place, but he vetoed it right away. Funny, he's trying to eat healthy, but wouldn't go to an all-organic, fresh food-only restaurant that specializes in chicken and seafood. I might not either, although I do like chicken and seafood.
Well, and he likes that though, because hubby seems was it's funny because hubby always is like getting these things adventure what I would think were adventurous dishes,
Yeah.
so I'm surprised. That's just that okay.
So
In
then
other
I
words,
told, go ahead.
he probably that you know usually happens is like it's like oh we can go anywhere you want, but you also want to go, but I don't want to eat this,
Right.
so.
Yeah.
I get that. I get that.
Then I told him I really wanted Mexican food. He hates cheese. Oh, you guys have something in common. And normally wouldn't go. But he gave in, actually liked his food, but they made it without cheese. I got grilled marinara or marinated chicken dish topped with chili with sides of beans and rice. Really great. Lots of lime in the marinade, and the chili topping was delicious. Sorry, the picture doesn't do justice. Looks like, ick on a plate.
It does. But now, because I was like, I don't have any idea what this is. I don't even know where to look. But now I do. I get it. Because there's the tortilla off to the side, up on the top, and the beans, and that it's the right there that I don't. And I see the rice next to it too. It's the
Yeah, it
okay.
looks
I'm
good to
you know I'm
me.
sure it's good because I like Mexican food. I'm from California, and you can put it in a taco shell, or you can mix it up in a bowl, and it's still going to be good.
Went back to the Malaysian restaurant today, had beef and broccoli. It's different than at a Chinese restaurant. Sauce isn't thickened with cornstarch. Sauce is a little sweet and stronger flavor. It's good. And it looks it.
It is interesting. You need to, if you ever want to do something kind of adventuresome, you pick one dish. I would probably do general chicken and go from a Chinese restaurant to a Vietnamese restaurant to a Thai restaurant, and just keep walking down and seeing how different it is from one place to another, because they sometimes they're identical. Most of the time, they're off. They use different kinds of soy sauce, or they use a different. They cut the meat differently. Or there's always something slightly different about them, and it's kind of fun. I'm maybe not that big of a hey, let's do that, but.
Okay, and then Tom wrote in and has a few photos to share.
Okay, the first photo was it's a broccoli cheese and broccoli soup, which but we had what happened was we had a bag of broccoli from Costco, threw it in the freezer, and then opened it. I opened it up and I used some of it, and that's when I realized the reason I never liked broccoli as a kid is I don't like the way it tastes after it's frozen.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And that's how, in the 60s and 70s, that's how you got your broccoli, was usually it from the freezer section. And so there was just a taste to it. And then, I know Sean really likes cheese, so I thought, well, let's try it. It was the texture was awful. Awful. It smelled good and it tasted fine, but the texture was terrible. And actually, the other reason we made it was because we bought a loaf of sourdough bread that had already been sliced, and so we wanted something to dip the sourdough into. And so I still have a pot of this in my refrigerator I need to throw out. And then the second picture is it's enchiladas. I'd made some pulled pork, and we had used it in like nine different things, and I said, well, let's make some enchiladas. So we made enchiladas, and that's some Spanish rice behind it. So,
That looks really good.
and it was really good.
And the Spanish rice looks great too.
It was a nice, too much, but it was a good meal.
Well, if you want to see these photos, and you definitely do, go over to our Facebook group at facebook.com/chubsgonewild. And don't forget, you can send us what's in your lunchbox at chubsgonewild@gmail.com, as well as anything else you'd like, from any comments on the show, any questions, any Hey Chubs questions, any memories, anything like that. Just send it to us. We'd love to hear from you. Also, find my books and other projects at justkisstheguy.com, and you can find all of our links at allmylinks.com/chubsgonewild.
And if
And
you're watching us on YouTube, go ahead, give us a like and subscribe, and also make comments. If you don't want to send it to Chubbs Gone Wild, you can make the comments on YouTube, and Matt will see them and let us know what you think.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Thank you so much for catching up and tuning in. We hope you have a wonderful Halloween slash Samhain slash end of the month, and we will talk to you in a week.
Bye.
This has been a, for fuck's sake, production.